friend of mine won the West Coast 500 Pro Class Motocross many years ago, so he seemed like a good first candidate for a deeper discussion of faith and risk. In our discussions, along with other racing strategies, one phrase which really caught my ear was his use of the term controlled crash. He won by pushing everything to the absolute edge. Once he was on the track, everything, every curve, every shift, every jump, every slide from start to finish, it was all a controlled crash, always on the edge of winning it all or losing it all. It's when everything is pushed to the edge of the envelope, and when things are pushed slightly beyond that edge is when the controlled crash occurs. He was never damped by the possibility of failure. He said that an over-focus on the failure potential skews our risk assessment. Even though quite a few years have gone by, he still lives life in sort of a controlled crash. The only difference is that his maturity and experience have highly influenced his risk assessment. Therefore, he has a greater degree of success in all he does. Here it is again. Maturity and experience highly influence our risk assessment, or at least it should. Now, I suppose it would be easy to perceive the phrase controlled crash as an oxymoron, or that it is a self-contradictory phrase, like saying something was a cruel kindness. But here is what is meant by controlled crash. When something slips out of our initial plan, it speaks of the action taken to minimize the damage. Like when riding a horse at a full gallop and somehow your feet come out of the stirrups. You knew it was possible that this could happen, but in order to have a little control over the potential catastrophe which could easily follow, you already thought about what to do next. We see bull riders who do it all the time. They know the risk is high that they will get thrown off. But in the moment they are becoming dislodged, they are keeping their cool and thinking, not about the failure to make the ride to the buzzer, but about how to best dismount with as little damage as possible. Now let's take Acts 27:15, which says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." It was a controlled crash, meaning they couldn't get out of the storm. It was all out of control. They picked a course of action that might minimize any potential damage, and so they went with the wind and let her drive. A controlled crash takes into account that it's possible things will not go as planned, and dedicates some planning over what to do next. Some would call it faith with a contingency plan, which is something we'll get to shortly. Gambling addicts bet the house but rarely have a backup plan in case they lose it all, whereas a good stock investor may risk a great deal on an investment, but almost always has an exit plan. Becoming part of a limited liability corporation is a risk, but the smart businessman always has a larger, more detailed exit plan than the entry plan. Is your life just a crash, waiting to happen with no strategy in the event things don't go as initially planned? Or is it a controlled crash where you've made a contingency plan built of if this, then that? As with other topics, there is also the other side of risk which must be considered, and that would be safety. Here's another one people who risk little have a high need for safety. Therein is a fear of failure which prevents many of us from many things. Frequently, we tend to overcorrect when we've navigated life poorly. So I can also assume that overcorrection is a fear of failure. As example, possibly a person's lifestyle was too loose, so they overcorrected by becoming too severe and stringent. Pilots often overshoot or miss a runway because the airplane's attitude was incorrect, and rather than make a small correction, for fear of not correcting enough, they overcorrect and then overcorrect the overcorrection, and so on and so on. For fear of not correcting enough, they corrected too much. Thus, they must pull up, circle the runway, and try again. Like the story told in Matthew 25 about the three investors. One received 5 talents, the next 2 talents, and the last one 1 talent. The first investor risked big by investing all. He risked big and it paid off. The second investor also risked big and it paid off big. But the third was gripped by fear of loss, fear of the master, fear of, well, just fear. He had a greater need to be safe than to take a chance, therefore he risked nothing. The servant who chose to be safe rather than risk could, I imagine, have possibly declined to be an investor. It is possible he didn't absolutely have to take the challenge. But after he accepted the challenge, he blamed the master as to why he did not risk an investment, saying, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." The servant's fears were unfounded, and what's worse, he blamed the master for his own faithlessness and fear. What the servant thought was safety by not risking did not prove very safe at all. Here is the next insight. The need to be safe tightly governs our ability to risk.